Welcome to the podcast of Unity Fort Worth. In it, you'll hear this week's message and meditation. If you'd like to hear and see the complete service, you can always find it at unityfortworth.org or on the Unity Fort Worth Facebook page. Unity Fort Worth focuses on positive and practical Christianity with a willingness to explore the entire world of religion and spiritual thought. Unity Fort Worth streams live every Sunday
at 1 p.m.
Thanks for listening to the Unity Fort Worth podcast.
All right, so we continue on our healing journey. Really trying to understand how we can bring about health and healing in our lives. We're using the various milestones or the various things that happened in this community, such as death or resignation or splits, as an opportunity to heal, an opportunity to learn. But how are we supposed to go about this? Right? Healing doesn't seem to come on its own, doesn't it? We have to do something about it. But healing is also not so much about creating something that is not there. Healing is about surrendering to what already is. So let me... Ooh, I love this new tool. Cool. So there's four steps that we could look at that we need to take in order to heal. Step number one is do a reality check. That's probably one of the hardest ones to do, especially when many of us learn to be spiritual. We unfortunately take on sometimes some really not so useful practices. And I get into that a little bit more. So number one is do a reality check. Be real with ourselves. Second one is remember our true self. Not just the human, but the spiritual as well. Remember who we and what we truly are. And then from that place, we let go and forgive. And finally, we get to settling to peace. So let's break this down a little bit. Do a reality check. It's my favorite topic because it's one of the hardest things to do. Be real with yourself, right? But here it is. No magical thinking. No spiritual bypassing, and no metaphysical malpractice. Have you ever heard of those terms? Magical thinking, right? So what? Give me an example what you think magical thinking is.
If I ignore it, it will go away.
If I ignore it, it will go away. What else? What other things are we telling ourselves which would resonate with magical thinking?
It's supposed to be that way, it will be.
It's supposed to be?
If it's supposed to be.
If it's supposed to be that way, it will be. Right? What about spiritual bypassing? It's a little bit more complex, right? Anyone knows an example of spiritual bypassing?
Why me?
Why me? What else?
It's God's will.
It's God's will, which implies that there is a plan for us, right? Many believe that God has made out this plan for us and that we ought to follow that. And what happens in that way of thinking, not that there's anything wrong with that, is we often give up our own power. Not understanding that we are also able and we have the right to make our own plan. And it's a kind of like a co-creation thing, right? So we use that infinite potential and possibility that God is, and then we carve our own path into this world. Okay. What about metaphysical malpractice? Yeah, that's an easy way out. There's a bunch more.
I bring this on.
Very good. Many people who learn about that we can use our mind, the power of our mind, to affect us physically, including healing, often go the opposite too. Have you ever thought about when you're sick? And I'm just talking about having the flu, something not so serious for the moment. Have you ever had the thought, except, oh, what did I do? What did I think? Right? What made this happen? Right? And that goes into metaphysical malpractice because we're then starting to judge ourselves instead of using the tools to remember health and wholeness. Okay. Elaine and I, we have been watching HGTV lately, because we love that channel. And as far as I'm concerned, this could be the only channel we have. Have you ever heard of a show called Love It or List It? Right? Love It or List It, right? And we were just watching this episode. There were a couple, two female, a couple with twins, and she was just adamant to get out of the house, and her partner wanted to stay, right? So that's kind of like the plot of this show. Now, the one who really wanted to leave really was a sourpuss. Like, I mean, I've never seen anything like that on that show. She was sourpuss, really, oh my God, you know? And then there was this B-roll, you know how they do these little, where they take them aside, the producers, and they ask them stuff, and then they make comments. What is this called? It's not B-roll. It's kind of like they interview them aside from kind of the show. And she was just sitting there, her face, it was very clear that she was furious. She was absolutely furious with how Hillary, the designer, couldn't make everything happen for their small budget that they gave her, you know, and she was furious. You can see it in her face. And she said, I'm not frustrated. I'm indifferent. Ever done that? Right? Ever said anything like that? And then someone who's sitting against, he's just looking at you and laughs. He said, you're so obviously angry, dude. That's what it means not to do that. To be real means to take all the masks away. And in reality, what we sometimes need to do, even if we have a close relationship at home, we might even have to go into the room and lock the door and pray in secret and take the last of the mask off to truly do this, to truly be real. The reason why I'm emphasizing this so much is if we cannot be real, then the other steps are not going to be as powerful and as impactful. And healing can only go so far. We must learn to be real. We must learn to be okay with being not good. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be sad, right? Anger is just energy flowing through that we seem to attach to a memory most of the time from our childhood. And the feeling of anger, the judgment of anger comes up. And if we're not learning to feel that anger in the moment it comes up, what do? We hold on to it, we stuff it down, and then it gets worse, right? Then resentment comes, and all sorts of other stuff that we don't need in our lives. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be tired. It's okay to be all sorts of things. We should stop judging us for the feelings that we have. Very important foundation of any spiritual practice. As much as we would like to be spiritual, no magical thinking, no spiritual bypassing, no metaphysical malpractice. It's important that we're not trying to be spiritual. It's more important that we are real. Make sense? Good. And this is just a scripture that really explains this in a very, you probably know the story, you know, where Jesus says, let anyone among you, you know, they were about to stone a woman. Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. A very good reminder that we don't have to be perfect all the time. A very good reminder before we point our finger outward, remember that there's always three fingers pointing back. That when we have this ideal of being without sin, let's be real about that and really understand whether that is even possible. Remember that sin in unity is not this big thing. It's not the original sin. It's not so bad that you end up in hell. In unity, sin simply is translated as error thinking. We made a mistake, right? Acknowledge it, be real about it, let's move on, and let's not make that mistake again. Even after this, when no one picked up a stone and everyone dispersed, Jesus was telling the woman, I have nothing for you. Go and be about your way, but do not sin anymore. Don't make that mistake again. That's the only ask. Okay, remember your true self. Relax. Who has a hard time relaxing in these days? A couple of us, right? It's hard sometimes to really relax, to pray, to meditate, to turn the TV off, to not do something, not do anything for like a minute, right? If I asked us to be still for a minute right now, how many of us will be able to do that? A few. 1 minute, right? How about five? Okay. It's hard, right? But we do the best we can. So relaxation is an important part in finding out who we are. We see this in scriptures, whether it's Hebrew scriptures, Christian scriptures, the Yoga Sutras, Patanjali's work is all about learning to find that bridge between the physical and the spiritual, and it can only happen through relaxation. So when we are busy every day and we don't give ourselves a break, then we can't even go past the first, right? If we don't learn to relax, how can we ever really imagine ourselves to be greater than just what we see in the mirror? It's hard, right? We need a level of relaxation, a level of coming to peace for us to even have the capacity to expand our minds and our hearts in such a harmony that greatness and goodness is available to us. And once we get there, we need to affirm it, which is what we try to do here every Sunday, right? We have affirmative prayer. We try to affirm as much as we can. And then we feel and think in harmony. So be real and then remember who we truly are. Okay, number two. And if you want some scriptures to that, we have the Father and I are one. Jesus claiming that. And, you know, making some Jews angry about that, who wanted to stone him when he said that, because that was considered blasphemy. But in unity, we believe that's really not only Jesus and the Father. We believe that's us, all of us, Mother, Father, God, doesn't matter. Perfect oneness. But there's later in John chapter 10, it also says, Jesus says, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. And that gives you a little bit more of a clue. The Father is in me. And I am in the Father. Okay? There is this idea that God is already within us. But the second part is important. We need to affirm and learn to affirm over and over again that we are in the Father too. We are in the Mother too. We are in God too. It's not just something that happens to us. It's something that we need to actively engage in, something that we need to grasp, right? If we don't grasp God, God just will be, and we will continue to exist the way we see ourselves, limited and unimportant often. And then, of course, Dr. E.B. Weeks, who inspired Myrtle Fillmore, you are a child of God, and therefore you do not inherit sickness, what he was saying. He was invited to Kansas City to speak for the New Thought movement back then. And Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, they went to listen to him. He was kind of like a metaphysician. He was one of the very early ones. He came out of Emma Curtis Hopkins, the teacher of all teachers within the New Thought movement. He came out of like that school, and he said that, and then Myrtle Fillmore said, I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness, and according to legend, she healed herself from tuberculosis within 2 years by daily prayer, by daily affirmation of what E.B. Weeks said. Okay? That's the power that we have. But again, Myrtle didn't. It's also something that I think is so hard in the modern world. We have this idea that we have to say this once and then it happens, right? It's that instant gratification. It's like when I order Starbucks, I get my Starbucks 5 minutes later, right? And we are approaching spirituality often exactly the same way. Well, okay, let me try this affirmation. But if I don't have an instant gratification, if I don't have an instant response, then, metaphysical malpractice, there must be something wrong with me. Correct? Have we thought of that? Ever had some problems with patience, not being patient enough in our spiritual work, right? So Myrtle Fillmore, 2 years. 2 years constant prayer. Not just, let me try it for a week, and if it doesn't work, I'll read another book and try that, right? No, constant affirmation of what she believed to be true for 2 years. So it takes a little work. Okay, number three, let go and forgive. Let go of what no longer serves. You've heard me say this over and over again. We are not asked to let go of anything that's important to us. We're asked to let go of something that no longer serves us. Sometimes this means to let go of a relationship, let go of a workplace. It could be something big. Let go of a house, let go of a car, or something very small. But much harder to do, let go of the constant judgment we have about ourselves, that false belief that many of us have. I am not good enough. Anyone had that before? I am not good enough, right? I am not lovable, right? I can't do this. I'm not worthy. I'm not intelligent enough. All these deep kind of false beliefs we have, they do not serve us, none of us. And so we need to learn to let go of those. Forgive what is false. That's how Unity interprets forgiveness. Forgiveness is the letting go of what is false, what is not true, so that we get to see what the truth is. Crucifixion, I mentioned that before. Jesus' crucifixion is a representation of letting go. Of letting go the old. The resurrection is picking up something new. But guess what we're doing, most of us? I'm sure some of you have done that before. We let go of something only to pick it up right away. Ever done that before? Right? We forgive something, and then we pick it up right away. And here is where healing can kind of like stop. And I'm thinking is, again, especially with this community, who, you know, some of you, when I mentioned these milestones, the genogram last week, you know, when I was talking about Davis and David and the split and all these, you know, things that happened to this community. And some shared with me and said, look, we've done this healing work over and over again, and still it boils up in me. And I said, that's perfectly fine. No one is expecting any of us to do this 100% perfectly. The only important thing is that when we pick it up again, that we remember we have the power to let it go. The anger that someone dies, the grief, the anger toward the people that left, the anger toward the people that were, in our minds, responsible. The anger, the sadness, and all that. It can come up over and over again. It's just like grief. Have you ever had a loved one die, and then, let's say, 10, 20 years ago, and you're still grieving them once in a while? Right? The grief kind of goes away in intensity, but sometimes it could happen even 20 years after that, boom, here it is, right in your face. It's the same thing with forgiveness. We might have thought we have forgiven, we might have thought we let go, and boom, there is back in our face. And guess what? Where are we going with this? Once it's back in our face, where do we start again? Reality check, right? So whenever we have something like that that comes up that we thought, oh, not again. Have you ever had that? It's like, gee, can you stop coming back for me, right? Reality check, remember who we truly are, and let go again. When we truly let go, we can be open and curious, and then we can accept what is to come. If we are not able to let go, we will not be able to be open and curious, and it's much harder to accept what is to come. See what we have here. One of my favorite stories, when Peter came to Jesus and said, okay, so I'm supposed to forgive, right? Is 7 times okay? Is that enough? No. 77 times. Did Jesus mean 77 times? What did he likely mean? As long as it takes, how many times it takes, right? And here's some metaphysics for you. Okay, some of my students. What does 7 mean? Ah, completion. Very good. There's a student. that gives you a gold star. Yes, 7 means completion. Uh-oh, this thing. It means divine completion, or can mean divine completion. And so when we do 77 or 7 times 7, the same story comes in 2 different Gospels. One time it is 77, one time it's 7 times 7. We could say divine times divine completion. What Jesus is really saying here, because remember those stories are more symbolic than anything else, like you all just said, we have to forgive over and over and over again until it's complete. How do we know that it's complete? Anyone knows? How do we know that we have forgiven?
When it doesn't make us unhappy when we think about it, when it doesn't bring us pain.
Yeah.
When it crosses our mind or our path.
And that is in that moment, right? When we truly forgive, there is this feeling of relaxation, this feeling of, oh, I finally have let go. Does it mean it can never come back? No. So on one hand, we could say we never know when we actually are truly have truly forgiven. We don't, because it can come back all the time. And we should not be afraid of that. We should also not judge ourselves for that, for all of a sudden having something to come back. I thought I forgave you. Okay? Applies to self-forgiveness too. I thought I'd forgiven myself for this mistake I made many, many years ago. So we got to know that this happens. It just is human, and it's okay. But again, let's not be spiritual couch potatoes. When it comes back up, we know what to do, right? Reality check, remember who we are, let go and forgive. And then finally, settle into peace. Be at peace with your new you. Smile at yourself. Be the peace that passes all understanding. And smile at the world. The other day, I was meeting with some of our younger congregation. We have this meeting called the Practical Spirituality. And it's where we really look into practical application of spirituality. And we were talking about what it means to truly be present, otherwise known as enlightenment or awakening. And I remember, so I believe I've walked with some enlightened people in my lifetime. I met a couple of them. And the one thing, we were talking about this, how do we know? How do we know when we are in this perfect place of perfection? How do we truly know? And the one thing I remember with everyone I ever met, who I believe they had this enlightened state, they always smiled. They smiled even when something hurtful happened to them. They smiled when they were challenged. They had this inner smile. They were smiling at themselves and smiling at the world because they finally realized they do not have to be perfect in order to be perfect. Imperfection is perfection. And once we get there, that's when healing happens. Well, that's actually wrong. It's not Matthew. I got to change that. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, for those who don't know. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and your minds in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the enlightened form of allowing our Christ to come fully to fruition. Remember, Jesus Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a title. In unity, we believe that every one of us is Christ. We can take our first name and then add Christ to it. What's really significant in Paul's work here is when Christ comes before the first name, that's the transition that we make. That's Jesus' ascension into a higher way of being. It's a symbol of enlightenment. It's a symbol of smiling at yourself and smiling at the world, regardless of what experience you have. And that's where the healing lies. To relax, to be truthful to ourselves, to be real, no longer kidding ourselves about who we are not, to remember who we are, to let go and forgive, and then to come to peace. That true peace, the peace that never goes away. The peace that is there when you're even angry or sad, the peace that's there when someone is yelling at you, the peace that's there when you're stuck in traffic in the morning and you can't stand it, that peace that passes all understanding, that's where our healing lies. And that's how we know that we're on the healing journey when we come to peace. And I think that's all I have for today. Let's... take some time in meditation to absorb all of that. Take a moment to relax. Allow your body and your mind to come to this perfect harmony. Allow the peace that passes all understanding to be recognized and realized by you right now. And take a moment and do a quick reality check with yourself. See if you have any feelings, any thoughts come up that are prevalent, that are at the forefront. And rather than fighting them, rather than being spiritual in quotes, just be in acceptance. Allow those feelings, allow those thoughts to be there, because they're part of you. Now remember that whatever thoughts or feelings that are coming up, those are just parts of you. They're not you self. They're not the whole of who you are. In every moment you can remember the totality, the divine of yourself, of which those thoughts and feelings are very much part, but only part and not the whole. And now, with as much integrity as you possibly can, without wanting to push those thoughts and feelings away or to ignore them, allow them to go, allow them to be, allow them to return. Maybe they're floating away, maybe they move away, but maybe they stay right there in your thoughts and your feelings. Whatever it is, be in acceptance of that. And allow that to be your peace. So as we all come together and meditate in this moment, let us truly remember that this community deserves to exist. This community has a bright future. Unity Fort Worth is relevant, is important. Everyone who is part of this community has something important to share, to give, and to partake in. So as we recognize this opportunity for this community to continue to exist with as much heart that we can possibly muster, let us imagine how many people in this area and far beyond will become part of what is Unity Fort Worth. Let us affirm that the power and the glory in which this community shines will be shared with many to come. So finally, let us find in our hearts the gratitude that we so often fail to see. Let us give thanks for each other. Give thanks for anyone who contributes in any meaningful way, or any way for that matter. Let us be grateful for each other, for who and what we are, and the willingness to be here, the willingness to watch online, the willingness to be better, to be greater, and to be whole. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Unity Fort Worth podcast. You just heard this week's message and meditation. For the live streams and more information, go to unityfortworth.org.